As he gained ascendancy in Muslim lands, Nur ad-Din Zanki soon realized the military and administrative potential of a young Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, who grew up close to his care and at his service in Damascus. Nur ad-Din would nurture him and afford him preferential treatment due to his caliber. As time progressed, Salah ad-Din would become the equivalent of Nur ad-Din's private secretary. Among the posts that were endowed to him in Damascus by Nur ad-Din was the leadership of the police force. Salah ad-Din carried out the task with proficiency and was able to rid the city of thieves and evildoers, a role that is memorialized in poetry from the era.
And a poet says, he says, he's speaking to the thieves of Sham. He says, رَوَيْذَكُمْ يَا لَصُوصُ الشَّامِ فَإِنِّي لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ فِي مَقَالِي إِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ سَمِّ النَّبِيِّ يُوسُفَ رَبِّ الْحِجَى وَالْجُمَالِ فَضَاقَ مُقْتُ عَيْدِ النِّسَى وَحَاذَا مُقْتُ عَيْدِ الرِّجَالِ. He says, oh thieves of Sham, hold on, take it easy. My words of deep admonishment for you. Beware of the one who has the same name as the Prophet Yusuf, because Salah ad-Din's name was also Yusuf. The Yusuf, the prophet, who had insight and who was beautiful. But the difference between the two is that the prophet used to cut the hands of the ladies. As for this Yusuf, he cuts the hands of the robbers.
Nur ad-Din was, in the words of a modern biographer, a political genius. While self-serving rulers were often his greatest obstacles, he never allowed this to deter him. Instead, he appealed directly to the consciences of the masses.
Nur ad-Din, he had a plan of action. It was in three parts. Number one, to unify Sham. Sham was divided, Syria, between Aleppo and Damascus. And they realized there's no way you could defeat the Crusaders with a divided Syria, because the Crusaders would come and just pick it off. You got to unify yourself, come together, and then we have a force. We have strength against the Crusaders. Number two was defeat of the Fatimid Shia in Egypt, because they would oftentimes ally themselves with the Crusaders against the Muslims. And number three, the reconquest of Jerusalem.
While he was occupied consolidating the Muslim front in Sham, successive Sunni wazirs who were serving the Shia Fatimid dynasty in Egypt attempted to contact Nur ad-Din, requesting his intervention in Egypt. When the time was ripe, and Nur ad-Din saw the fractures amongst the Fatimids, he made his move. Nur ad-Din realized that a strong Egypt under his banner would help consolidate his kingdom and render him great assistance in driving the Crusaders out of Palestine.
Egypt was the most powerful country at the time. You know why? Egypt had the River Nile. The River Nile was the source of life in Egypt. Subhanallah. You know, even today when you fly over Egypt, when you look down from the plane here, you see a line. What is that line? That line is the River Nile. And on this side and on the other side, all you see is green. And after green, you see immediately red sand. Allahu Akbar. Completely red desert. Nothing there. There is life just because of the river. So Egypt was the breadbasket of the Muslim world. You know, there was a lot of harvest. Even today, you know, a lot of things come from Egypt. You know, farming is a huge business in Egypt. So Egypt could supply armies. You know, even in the Roman time, Egypt was very important for the Romans, because they could bring in a lot of provisions from Egypt.
Additionally, Nur ad-Din felt a strong urge to rid Egypt of its Batini Ismaili Shia rulership, which had corrupted the beliefs of the Ummah and conspired repeatedly with the Crusaders. He intervened in a power struggle that had erupted amongst the wazirs of the Fatimid state. The result was a series of campaigns into Egypt that saw Nur ad-Din gain a foothold there. But the treachery of the wazir Shawar ibn Mujir al-Sa'di and successive counter-interventions by the Crusaders, who were equally interested in Egypt, meant that it would take some 5 years before he would fully be able to exercise authority there. It was during this series of campaigns that Salah ad-Din was first dispatched to Egypt. under the leadership of his uncle Asad ad-Din Shirku, who was also Nur ad-Din's senior commander. As part of one military maneuver, Asad ad-Din attacked Alexandria and installed Salahuddin as its governor. This occurred while Salahuddin was barely 25, when he was compelled to leave Alexandria a short while later on account of the provisions of a truce. The inhabitants of the city felt a great sense of loss due to the reputation of justice Salahuddin had established for himself in the city. Eventually, Asad ad-Din Shirku took control of Cairo on behalf of Nur ad-Din and was appointed as the wazir of the state by the Fatimid Shia Khalif. However, his rulership did not last long. It was hardly 2 months when Asad ad-Din had passed away. Acknowledging Salahuddin's administrative prowess, the Fatimid Shia Khalif appointed Salahuddin as the new wazir. He had hoped that Salahuddin would be more obedient to him than the previous wazirs. Salahuddin, however, was soon to dash his hopes of being a toothless lackey. Salahuddin was endowed with the title Al-Malik Al-Nasir, the victorious king. Yet, despite his position, the elephant in the room was still the Fatimid Shia state, whose deployees still occupied key administrative and army posts. Salahuddin was acutely aware of this and strove to enhance his control over affairs. He strove to win the hearts of the Egyptian population by increased spending on them. At the same time, unjust taxes were lifted. Salahuddin had learned a lot about Egypt and its internal political and military dynamics during the 3 previous trips he had made to Egypt between 1163 and 1168. He reorganized the Egyptian army into a cohesive fighting force from one that had been divided along ethnicity. He also enhanced his intelligence gathering operations to detect signals of dissent and conspiracy. Salahuddin rid the state of its Sudanese and Armenian troops who were fomenting unrest and actively seeking to conspire with the Crusaders. Having quashed the conspirators, he turned the focus to the aggressors. Realizing the peril that awaited them as a result of the emerging unity between Muslims in Egypt and Syria, the Crusaders of Jerusalem teamed up with the Byzantine Empire to stage a naval attack on Egypt at the fort of Damietta. This was coupled with the land encirclement of the city by Crusader forces who had come from the Sinai. Salahuddin sent his forces to confront the invaders in Damietta. At the same time, he sent word to Nur ad-Din Zanki in Sham requesting reinforcements. Nur ad-Din did just that and simultaneously began attacking Crusader outposts in Syria to split the Crusader forces and reduce the pressure on Egypt. At the same time, the people of Damietta played a heroic role in defending the city. Heavy casualties were inflicted on the joint Crusader fleet, and torrential rain turned the Crusader camp into a swamp. The help of Allah was manifested again when the Byzantine fleet sailed off. Most of the troops were near starving and were unable to steer the ship safely. Muslims set fire to the Byzantine fleet, and many of the invaders met their death on the icy seas. The utter failure of this 3-pronged assault increased the prestige of Salahuddin and highlighted the dangers that lay in store for the Crusaders in the wake of this new united Muslim front. Salahuddin's dominion over Egypt was a game changer. He began shunning the pleasures of the world more determinedly and grew a single-minded determination to unite the Muslims and liberate Al-Aqsa. "When Allah gave me the land of Egypt," he said, "I was sure that he meant Palestine for me also."
And when he became the ruler, whatever weaknesses he had in his character, because part of the culture was at the time, there were certain things that came with the culture of ruling class. When you belong to the ruling class, certain things come to you with the culture of that ruling class. So he abandoned all of that. Just like Umar bin Abdul Aziz.
Salahuddin's name was Yusuf, and throughout his life, many parallels were drawn between himself and events in the life of the beautiful prophet he was named after. One such incident occurred in the year 565 Hijri, when Salahuddin requested his father Najmuddin join him in Cairo. When he arrived, Salahuddin went out to greet him and afforded him a welcome akin to that Yusuf alayhi salam afforded to his father Yaqub when he arrived in the same land of Egypt. The occasion was adorned with qira'ah of relevant ayat from Surah Yusuf. Salahuddin honored his father and offered him leadership. His father, however, declined, exhorting his son to be comfortable with the role as Allah had chosen him for it. Salahuddin gave his father authority over the storehouses and housed him in a palace. Sometime later, Najmuddin passed away, having fallen from a horse. He was buried in Cairo, but his body was later transferred to Al-Madinatul Munawwarah.